About through our sermon series, listen, these are not all the questions we ask about God, I promise you, and I know that I'm going to leave one out. Maybe next year we hit another month or so of questions, but we've been asking why. We've been asking some why questions about why God does things, or why God seems certain ways, or why God doesn't do things we want Him to do, or whatever it might be. And today you might not have actually asked this question the way it's presented, but I bet you've thought this before. Without even thinking it, David asked us this morning before we start practicing if any of us have ever asked this question, and nobody really spoke up. But I think we ask this question, or we think about this question without even realizing it. And the question we want to go over today is this: why doesn't God seem fair? The premise is this: we like to look at other people. We don't ever look at ourselves, right? We don't like to do that. That's not fun. But we look at other people and we go, well, why is God doing this for them? And then why did He do this on me? Or why did God do this to this person? This is a good person. Why did He allow this to happen to them? But then this other person over here is prospering or whatever. Why doesn't God seem fair? And those are some verses that kind of set the stage up for us. And we're going to read them, but we are going to bounce around a little bit today. So you just continue to look up on the screen, or if you want to write the verses down and read them later, the ones that we go through, you can do that. Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, when God's talking, he sees the city of Sodom, and he says, you know, I'm going to go in there, I'm just going to wipe them all out. There's so much sin there. And remember, if you don't remember, Abraham kind of bargains with him. He's like, but what if you found 100 people? What if you found 50? What if you find 10 people that follow God? Would you spare them then? And eventually God's like, you know what? Yeah, I think I will. But in the middle of them talking about it, Abraham says this. He says, you could not possibly do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. You could not possibly do that. Won't the judge of the earth do what is just or do what is fair? Won't you at least be fair? Abraham asked that question. Jeremiah asked it in Jeremiah chapter 12. Listen to how he sets this up. This is probably how we would do it, okay? He says, you will be righteous, Lord, even if I bring a case against you. He's saying, I know you're God. I know you're above everything. I know you're righteous. I know you're good. I know you're great. I know you're all these things. I even sing these songs to you, God. I know you're all these things. But look what he says. But I wish to contend with you. But I got something to bring up. I know you're good, and I know you've got all this, God, but let me ask you a question. Let me throw something out there. And this is probably where we've thought this way sometimes too. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the treacherous live at ease? God, why do these people over here that don't even follow you, why does it look like they're doing so good? Why can't I get a little bit of that? And then you think about David in the Old Testament. The book of Psalms is almost all of David questioning God. A lot of it is, God, why do you do this? God, why does this happen? God, why don't you smite these people? God, why don't you forgive these people? God, why? And we ask these questions. We do it. You want to get more for us, we see on the news, or maybe you know somebody, a young child has died. You ask that sometimes, right? Cancer happens, or you see starvation on TV, or walking down the street of a big city, or somebody loses their job, or there's tornadoes that have happened, or hurricanes that come up, or you ask why. God, why can't you just be fair? I got a really personal one I want to share with y'all this morning. When I was in high school, had a group of friends, and we wanted to get involved in this certain thing at school, and so it was intramural basketball, and so we got involved with it and enjoyed it, had a good time. We were all friends. We all liked each other. We weren't any good. First year, 0-7. We went 0-7. We were good kids. Probably, I sound like Donald Trump when I say it's probably the best I ever knew. No, like, Probably of, as a group of kids, we were probably the best group of kids out there as far as like character-wise. Like, we were good kids. Year number two, still the same group, Still playing intramural basketball. You say, y'all won a couple of games that year, didn't you? God blessed you. Yeah, 0-7 again. You thought I was going to be real, real deep and serious, didn't you? 0-14 in 2 years of intramural basketball. And that might seem silly, but even on the silly stuff, don't we ask God, why? Why can't you just be fair for a change? Why can't you let the good kids win a game? It'd be like the Bad News Bears, but why can't it just be like a Disney story sometimes? Why can't we win? But you probably have something even more serious than that. Your marriage seems like it's falling apart. And your neighbors who don't even follow Jesus seem like they're thriving. God, why can't you just be fair? Can't conceive a child, but yet you know somebody like my sister who adopted a child of a mom who had 7 kids so far, and all 7 of them have been given up to adoption, but yet you can't conceive. God, why can't you be fair? These are real life questions. Why was I the one that was laid off and I've got all these bills and I can't get ahead? God, why? A lot of times for us, if God is in control of our lives, it seems like things aren't good. And then we look at other people and it seems like God's not in control of their lives, but things are all good. Why doesn't God seem fair? We're definitely not going to answer this question in the next 25 or 30 minutes. It's not going to happen. But hopefully we're going to point ourselves to some thoughts, and definitely to the one who can, one day is going to answer that question for you. You're going to know, you're going to see things as Jesus sees them. You're going to know all things. You're going to know why things happen like they happened. But why sometimes does it seem like God's just not fair? Or even, we ask the question, why do these things happen to me? Why are these things happening to us? Why is this going on? I've got some ideas, and if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know I've kind of presented them as possibly this, or maybe this, or it might be this, and that's what we're going to do again today, because I don't know the real answer. I don't know. I know we can get to the one who has the answer, and I know our faith can help us be okay with the answers that we know, and even the ones we don't know. So we're going to just try to answer that question with some suggestions out of Scripture this morning. And the first one is this. Maybe everything's happening like it does and you feel like God's not fair. Maybe it's just because we're in the middle of a broken world. Did you know from the very beginning of time when Adam and Eve sinned and ate the fruit they weren't supposed to and they sinned, when sin entered the world, everything was put into chaos? Did you know why there is sickness today? It's because of sin. You know why there's famine today? It's because of sin. You know why there's broken relationships today? It's because of sin. Name anything good, bad today that's not good. Anything that's not good today, and I promise you it's attributed to the very first sin. And you say, well, that's all Adam and Eve's fault. It is, but it's also our fault because we're sinners too. And it's going to be our fault because we can't not be sinners. We're not going to be perfect this side of heaven. We live in a broken world since sin has entered in. It said, well, once sin entered, God even gave them some ideas of what was going to happen. He said man was going to work the land and he was going to fight weeds in the field and snakes were going to bite at his heels. I don't like any of that stuff. Women are going to be have to be subject to their husbands, God said in the Bible. That's part of, listen, you women, you mad that you got to listen to your husband sometimes? He's the head of the house and that's just the way it's set up? Are you mad about that? You ever get mad? Well, it's Eve's fault, okay? It's her fault. God said, you know what? Because of that, man's going to be over you. He's going to be head of the house. Also said, you're going to have great pain in childbirth. So you look at those little kids running down the aisle, think how cute they are, and then remember what that felt like. It's sin's fault. It's sin that caused all that. John 16:33, Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in the world. You know why you're going to have suffering in the world? Because of sin. But he says this to go on. He says, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. Jesus conquered the world. He's in heaven today, sitting beside his Father, waiting to come back and get us. But he's sitting up there not as somebody who left this earth without finishing what he was going to do. He left this earth as the conquering king. He conquered all sin. He fixed all of that. He fixed it. And one day we get to live inside of that for all eternity. But down here, we're victims of a broken world. Maybe it seems like God's not fair just because of the sin that's around us, the sin that breaks everything and it puts everything into turmoil around us. Not everything is somebody else's fault. Sometimes it's just because we're in a sinful world. Second thing I had with that is that maybe God doesn't seem fair because maybe we've brought it on ourselves. We don't like to hear that, but that's true. Maybe we've brought it on ourselves. When I was in college, right before I went to college, I was 18. That summer, something came in the mail, and I was like, oh, it's for me. And I open it, and it's a visa application. And I was like, well, hello. I like that. So I filled it out. They gave a kid, 18-year-old kid, $2,000 credit limit. And I was like, well, if they'll do it, somebody else probably will. The next one that comes in the mail, I'll sign up for it too. I had a Visa card, I had a MasterCard, and I had an American Express card. And that ain't good. And you know what I would do when I didn't have the money? I came home and worked every weekend pretty much. But when I didn't have the money to do what I wanted to upkeep my lifestyle at college, you know what I did? Boy, that plastic swipe's pretty easy. And when I got married, a year after college, I was still paying off that credit card debt. You can ask Lindsay. She married into credit card debt. She did it. God bless her for doing it. But I brought that on myself. That wasn't God being unfair to me. I brought it on myself. When I was a freshman, my first semester, my freshman year of college, it was December. It was finals week. I had been studying. I had a final at 8 o'clock the next morning. It was my last one, and I was done for the week. I was heading home. Hadn't looked at anything all week. It was a Friday morning final. Hadn't looked at it all week long. I had studied for all my other finals, done well on them. This one came up, and I had started studying for it that evening, and I thought, you know what? I've been studying all week. I just need to get out of this room. I got to get out of this dorm room. I got to go somewhere. All my friends were already gone home. Nobody else was there. I was like, I'm just going to go driving. So I drove about 7 or 8 miles outside of town, and I was like, I'm going to turn around and go back, go get something to eat, and then I'll go back and study. Well, I pulled into this field. Looked like there was a turnaround spot on up there, so I was going to drive on up, turn around, and come back. Well, it got muddy, and I had a two-wheel drive truck, so I put it in reverse, hammered down on it, and started coming back, and I was like, whew, this is going to be okay. And as I'm doing that, my truck slides off into a ditch in the field, bottoms out in that ditch. I'm 7 miles from campus. Thank God I had a cell phone on me, but I didn't know anybody's numbers to call. I didn't have Google to Google a tow truck, so I didn't know what to do. So I grabbed a flashlight out of my truck, grabbed my cell phone, put my coat on, and I started walking. And I walked about a mile down the road, and I came up on this guardrail, and I thought, man, I hadn't even prayed about this. Here I am out walking, trying to get back to campus, middle of the night, out in the county, in Taylor County. I don't know where I know where I am, but I don't know what's going on out here. I probably need to pray about this. So I sat down, and as I'm sitting on the guardrail, and I pray about it, and all I said was like, God, you've got to take care of this because I don't know what I'm doing out here. You've got to fix this. I've gotten into this situation. You've got to get me out. And I stood up. As soon as I stood up and started walking, this car comes and slides in the gravel in front of me to a stop on the side of the road. Old, it looked older than what it was, but it was like an early 80s Camaro, music going real loud in it. And I walk up to the window and I was like, hey, and he said, hey man, you need a ride? Just like that. And I was like, yeah, actually I do. So I hopped in with this dude I didn't know. No gun, no nothing. Like I wasn't prepared. Jumped in with this guy I didn't know. We talk, head back, he drops me off at my on campus where my dorm was. Go inside, call a tow truck, he comes and gets me out. Now, you say, well, that ended up good. Yeah, it did end up good. But I got myself into that. Like, if I'd have sat down on that guardrail and went, oh, God, why are you being so mean to me? Why are you not being fair? How silly would that have been? I did that. I was the one that did that. I was driving home from Walmart one time, and I went through Princeton to Eddyville, and then come back to Marion. Oh, I had to pick Lindsay up. Come back to Marion, and I'm a mile onto 641 coming outside of Eddyville heading towards Fredonia. I go around this little curve, easy curve, not paying attention, get off on the side of the road. I don't overcorrect, but I'm trying to ease it back up, and I hit an entrance to a field right beside the culvert, and it bounces me, and I start bouncing across the road. Then I have to overcorrect, flip three times, total my truck out. I could have been mad about that. I was mad about it. But I could have blamed God and said, God, why are you not being fair? These other people drove through here fine. It was my fault. Don't we do that so many times? Don't we bring things on ourselves and then go, why is God not being fair to me? When we're the ones that's messed things up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. You've heard this maybe before. Paul says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. If I sow to credit card debt, guess what I'm going to reap? Credit card debt. That's what I'm going to get. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, whatever we do with our lives, that's what we've done. You can't blame God and say he's not being fair just because we've brought something on ourselves. You might be hurting financially, and you've got this $80,000 car and $300,000 house, and you're making $30,000 a year. That's a problem. You brought that. Don't whine. You brought that on yourself. You say, well, I'm having family problems, and my spouse just isn't the same anymore. My kids won't listen, and everything's going haywire. But every chance I get, I'm out of that house. I'm doing something with my friends or my hobby or this or that, and I'm out. I'm not even around them. You brought that on yourself. You've brought those family problems on yourself. You need to be there with your family. You need to start mending that. Maybe God doesn't seem fair because we've brought it on ourselves. Maybe God doesn't seem fair because he just wants to do something big in your life. Maybe he's planning something big that you and I can't see. Maybe he's wanting to do something. In John chapter 9, Jesus heals, you know the story, maybe Jesus heals the man of blindness where he spits on the ground and rubs it on his eyes. But before that, the disciples look at this guy and they go, hey, this guy's blind. Whose fault is it? Is it his fault because he sinned? Is it his parents' fault because they sinned? Whose fault is this? And Jesus says this in John chapter 9, verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Now, they were sinners, but he's saying it wasn't anybody's fault that this guy was blind. This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him. That man was blind so that God could show his work through his life. Maybe you and I are involved in something. Maybe God's doing something in our life solely for the purpose so that he can get the glory for it. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Man, I think it's 100% fair. I want God to get all the glory for everything. Now, I don't always act like that, and my mind doesn't always go that direction, but boy, my heart does. I follow Jesus, and so I want Jesus to get glory. I want him to get credit for everything. Maybe God wants to do something big in your life. Put that truck in that ditch, trying to back out of that field. Last part of that story is I get back, the tow truck driver actually gets stuck in mud trying to pull me out. These two Taylor County rednecks pull up in an old Dodge pickup truck, pull the tow truck out, and then pull my truck out with the brakes still on. And I'm like, man, and none of them would take any money. None of them would do it. Those two old boys that pulled up said, oh, we're just being neighborly. And I'm like, no, I get that. I would have done the same thing, but please let me give you something. No, we just like doing this. So when I finally got back, I drove. Nothing was tore up on my truck. I drove back to school. I walked in my dorm room alone, and it's like it hit me. I was like, man, I prayed and said, God, you got to fix this. And he fixed it. He fixed it completely, better than I thought he was going to fix it. He fixed it. He was planning on something big. Did you say, Justin, he made you back into a ditch just so he could do something big and show up in your life? Absolutely. Absolutely, he did. About when I wrecked my truck, so I got out of my, crawled out from under it. I was upside down. I crawled out the driver's side window. I walked around it one time. I was so mad, I kicked the side, because it was totaled anyway. I kicked the side of the door as hard as I could. And then a verse popped in my head. God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I remember in my mind thinking, nope, God, not today, not now. Don't tell me that now. But it was true. It was true. God was working things out. I told you all this the very first Sunday I was here. Maybe you don't remember this. I had to wreck that truck to get the insurance money to buy the ring to ask Lindsay to marry me. It's exactly what happened. So I don't know if that's out of statute of limitations. I don't know. Just forget about it. I won't do it to y'all now. I did somebody else. And I put down money on a new truck, on a different truck. God took care of that. God was, and what I've realized since then, had I not had my seatbelt on, or if there was another car on the road, or, you know, any number of things could happen, I could not be here today. But for some reason, God's got something in store. Maybe I still don't know what he's trying to do in my life by saving me from a wreck. All I had was a scratch on my head where glass flew. That was it. God wasn't done with me yet, and he's still not done with me yet. And I don't know what he's trying to do, but he's still not done with me yet. Now, I'm not saying that you've come to this point in your life and you've got to file bankruptcy and you ought to be thrilled about that. I'm not saying you have to be thrilled about it. I'm not saying that you get pumped up about losing a job, or you get excited about wrecking a car, or you see somebody you love that's suffering and you ought to be excited about that. Those things hurt. But what we can remember is that we talked last week, the difference in what God can and what God will do. I mean, God's going to do something big. God's going to do something big in your life. And maybe that's the reason you're going through what you're going through now. It's not that God's not fair. It's that God wants to do something awesome in your life. He wants to show up. And the last thing is this. I believe 100% for sure that God is doing something in you. God is never not trying to do something in your life. Can I say that again? God is never not trying to do something in your life. I don't care if you feel like you could feel him like we talked a few weeks ago, or you don't feel like you can feel him, or you feel like he's being fair or unfair or whatever it is. I promise you, God is never not trying to do something in your life. James 1 verses 2 and 3, he says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know the testing of your faith produces endurance." You're going to, and the wording, the verbiage in that is that you're going to experience trials. You're going to experience those trials, but know that God's doing something when you do that. He's doing something in your life when that happens. Every one of us have that same story to some degree. I went through something and it made me different. God put me through this and it made me stronger. I had this happen in my life and it actually brought me to Christ. It's actually what saved me. Was this situation I found myself in. It brought me to Jesus. I wouldn't have ever chose this, whatever this is in my life, but I'm thankful God did what he did. We all have those stories in our life. You know why? Because God's always trying to do something in us. We just have to recognize it. He's always trying to do something in our life. No, you didn't want the divorce. You didn't want to smash your hand in a door. You didn't want to lose 14 basketball games in a row. You didn't want to wreck a truck. You didn't want a close friend to take their life. You didn't want to watch somebody close to you pass away slowly from this horrible disease, whatever it was. But God's doing something in your life. We don't want those things. But as we grow in Christ, we start to see those things in a different light. They make more sense to us in light of what God's trying to do, or maybe what he's trying to do in our life. Do you know this? Bad things don't happen to good people. They don't. Bad things do not happen to good people. Because there was only one good person. He died on a cross and he volunteered for it. So bad things don't happen to good people. They don't. Because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, though, the only one good person that gave his life for us, the only one good person that had something bad happen and he volunteered for it, because of that, good things happen to bad people like you and me. That's the good thing this morning, is that good things happen to bad people. We're not good people. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. And then verse 12, if you jump to it says, all have turned away, all alike have become worthless. There is no one who does what is good. Not even one. We're not good. You're not good. I'm not good. And God still steps up for us. God still wants to do something good in our life. God still wants to do something big in our lives. He still wants to show up in our lives. And we don't deserve a bit of it. So you ask the question, why is God not fair? No, he's not fair. Thank God he's not fair, right? If he was fair, we wouldn't have a chance in anything to be able to be anybody, let alone be a follower of his. He is not fair. I can promise you that this morning. Whatever you're going through in life this morning, he is not fair. You know why? Because you're a sinner that needs a Savior, and he didn't have to be your Savior, but he chose to. And today you can follow him. He's not fair, he's just. What he says and what he does never changes. In Psalm 103, David says this. David, who questioned God on a lot of things, said this. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve. Whew, thank goodness. Or repaid us according to our iniquities. He doesn't deal with us based on our sins. He doesn't repay us based on our sins. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love towards those who fear him. And it doesn't have to be. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions or our sins from us. No, God's not fair. And you and I better be glad about God not being fair. And we will do it. I'll do it again. But the next time you start to question, and the next time it might not pop in your head with those exact words, God, why are you not being fair? But the next time you start thinking that direction, thank God that he's not fair. Thank God that he's going to do something in your life. Thank God that he's never given up on you. Thank God that he sent Jesus to save you. He is good and he's in control. And he is not fair, thank goodness. He doesn't repay us based on our sins. He doesn't deal with us based on our sins if we'll follow him. You need to follow Jesus today. Because if you're not a follower of Jesus today, if you've not let him come in and change you and save you, give you a new heart, guess what? He does deal with you based on your sins. And it's not going to be pretty. Because you're going to spend an eternity apart from him in a place called hell. And it's not pretty down there. It's not pretty. You're not going to be with your buddies. You're not going to be with your friends. You're not going to get to do all the things you think you're going to do. It's not going to happen. It's not like Florida in the summertime with no breeze. It's worse, trust me. If you don't know Jesus today, you need to know Jesus. You need to turn your life over to him. Not because of the threat of hell, but because of the promise that God is good and he steps up for his children and that he's not fair, not at all, because we deserve death because of our sin, but he gives us life. He gives us hope. He gives us a future. Do you need to repent of some things maybe this morning? Maybe you are saved. Maybe you do know Jesus, but maybe you need to give up some of that stuff you've been complaining about. Maybe you need to repent about some of that stuff you've been whining about. Maybe you brought it on yourself. Maybe you realize it's just because of sin in this world that things bad are happening. Maybe you didn't even think about the fact that maybe God's trying to do something big in your life, or that everything he's doing, he's trying to work out something in your life. Maybe you need to repent of that. Maybe you need to give that back to him, tell him you're sorry. This next few moments is between you and him. It's between you and him. If you need to come down and know what it means to be saved, I want you to come down. I want you to tell me. I'll show you in Scripture what it means to give your life to Jesus. And I can't do it for you. And nobody else here can do it for you. But today you can come down. You can leave your life in the hands of Jesus and he'll change it. He'll give you a brand new heart and he'll make you one of his. You can start living a brand new life. You can be a brand new person today. You might be a church member for a long time, but you could be a brand new person today. It might be your first time in church in a long time, but you could be a brand new person today. Have you given your life to Jesus? If you have, are you trusting him to do with your life what he's doing with your life? Trusting that he's working all things out. He's got it covered. He's in control. Are you trusting that? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for today, for your word, all the scripture we read, Lord, all the thoughts that came out, Jesus, all the ways that you're speaking to each of us individually this morning. Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you, that's never been saved, that's never followed you, maybe they played the game, maybe they've done the church thing, but they've never followed you with their life. They've never turned their whole life over to you, Jesus. Maybe they've turned parts of it over, but not their whole life. And they've realized that this morning, Jesus. Maybe you've been working on them for some time. Maybe today they're just like, you know what? I'm just going to do it today. I'm just going to give my life to Jesus. I pray they would come down, Lord, that they would share with their church family what you're doing in their life, so that we can be excited with them and pray for them. And then, Lord, the rest of us in here today, Jesus, I pray that you would show us the ways that we've not trusted you, the ways that maybe we've been just like whiny little kids, thinking that you're not being fair, that you're doing something that's not nice. But Jesus, you're doing all things together for good. You're working all things out. Maybe you want to do something big in our lives, and for sure you're trying to work in our lives, no doubt. So help us to see even in our life how you're working and what you're doing. And Lord, we trust you in that. We trusted you enough to turn our lives over to you. We ought to trust you enough to just let us live those lives for you, Jesus. Man, you just move in our hearts. Just move, Jesus. Move in our hearts today. We love you. We ask it all in your name. Amen.